Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. So glad to be with you here on this Tuesday, January the 16th. We have a fantastic program for you. Hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire hour. Before I tell you about it, let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Father, we thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Wherever we go today, whatever happens to us, we know that you're with us, and we're grateful for that. Father, we ask for the grace that we need to be a light shining in the darkness. May all that we do and may all that we say bring glory to your name. We ask you to help those who are struggling today, those who are dealing with anxiety, those who are dealing with loneliness, those who might be on the verge of despair and who might be battling doubt. We ask you to help the homeless, the homebound, and anybody that has grown apart from you. We ask you to reel them back in and help them out and grant them your peace. And of course, Father, as we do each day, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak through us so that your word can go out over the airwaves on Spirit in the Morning. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for tuning into the show. I am Gary Zimek, and you're listening to Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. And I say that because I'm so excited that that is a true fact. We're so blessed to be here with you. On today's show, we're going to be joined by our friend Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University of Steubenville, who is now going to be a weekly guest on the program. Really excited that Dr. Bergsma is going to be doing this with us. We'll continue the story of Abraham as told in the book of Genesis. And in the second part of the program, Art Bennett will be here. He's the author of many books, including the latest, Tuned In, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening. Listening, it's a lost art in today's world. Many times we don't listen, but Dr. Bennett's going to teach us how to listen better. With me, actually not with me, but in the studio, we'll talk about that in a minute, Frank Elias and Dave Parker. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I am actually not in the studio today. We're trying a new way to do the program. Frank, you're looking good.
You can see me. You can't see Dave yet.
We'll thank you for that, Frank. I see Dave's hand. Well, yeah, I'm doing the show from home today. I'm connecting through Skype, and part of the new technology that Frank installed allows us to do this.
Yeah, this is the first time we're actually testing Skype Live, which is actually it's really good for guests. There's a number of guests internationally where it would be much easier to connect to them via Skype and a lot cheaper. And so this is our first chance to actually utilize it. We usually use very sophisticated technology for remote broadcasts, and this time we'll try something not as sophisticated, and it's working well so far.
That certainly is. Dave Parker, how are you today, my friend?
I'm well, Gare. I can see from a different angle. I'm not on. You can see Frank, but you clean up pretty good, I'm telling you.
I try my best.
I guess it's a little bit more challenging when you do the show remotely when we can see you.
that's exactly right. I've got to be careful about that.
You're not in your bathrobe and slippers. I'll keep it that way.
Guys, I'm going to do the weather in a minute, but there is a chance of snow, but I'll give you the details. Yes, one more time, we're being hit with the possibility of some snow, but there's going to be a warm-up after that. A reminder that we are still in winter.
We are, and we pulled up here at the station. It's actually white in the driveway.
Mm-hmm. A little flurry activity.
Yeah.
Oh, from about 3 miles south coming into Doylestown. And, not too bad, though. Roads are still pretty good.
Yeah, roads were fine, but it was interesting going in the driveway. It was literally white.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, with that in mind, let me do the weather, and then we'll talk about some other things. Frank, I sent you an email. I want to talk about something else. It's a brand new news service that we're going to have the founder of this service on the program on Thursday, but we're going to chat about that in a minute. But let me take a look at the weather right now. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 30 degrees under overcast skies. Now, today we're going to have a slight chance of rain after 3 p.m. Then it otherwise will be cloudy with a high near 39. Tonight, a slight chance of rain and snow before 8 p.m., then turning to snow, low around 29 degrees. New snow accumulation possible overnight, 1 to 2 inches. Wednesday, snow, but mainly before 1 p.m., high near 33. And then we're going to have possibly less than accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. It's not a big event, but the timing will be tricky once again. So just be careful. In Mount Laurel, where I am this morning, it's 27. In Coatesville, it's 26 degrees. And in Ben Salem, it is 30 degrees. Very quickly, Frank, I wanted to talk to you because I know that we this is a constant discussion on our part about the news being presented in a negative way. I mean, there's different ways to present the news. There is news overload that we can all suffer from. There comes a time when we just say, I can't take it anymore. But there is a new, and I got this from, I got alerted to this from Gail Caniglio, who was the publicist for Father Mitch Pacwa and for Teresa Tomeo. She sent me word of this. It's a daily email newsletter. It's called The Good News, which summarizes relevant headlines and important Christian news in light of Catholic teaching. And the way that it does it, you can subscribe to this, you can sign up for free. The way that it does it, it just provides links and gives you a little information about the news. It has the daily mass readings in it. I think it's a really neat package, Frank.
Yeah, it's actually well done. In the pieces it puts together, it's giving you really what you need at the moment you need it. At the same time, it's not killing you with perspective. It's basically, here's the good pieces.
Yeah, which is important. I think it would not be responsible to completely ignore what's going on in the world. Would you?
Oh, you can.
But we can also, right, you can. But you can also become so overloaded with the negativity and how it's presented that you just get overwhelmed and you plunge into despair. We don't want that to happen either.
At the same time, we are part of the world. We need to know what is happening out there. We need to know the key facts and how it relates to our faith.
Exactly. So I think this is going to be a great service. Again, we're going to have Jason Collette, who is the founder of this this new news service. He's going to be on the show on Thursday. One more quick thing before I want to do the gospel. There, I saw that there was a news release from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and what happened was Pope Francis has honored 28 individuals in the Philadelphia area for their dedication and exceptional service to the church in Philadelphia. Now, the highest honor is what is known as the Benemerenti Medal. There are 8 people who received this. One of those is Damon Owens. Mm-hmm. He's the executive director of the Pope John Paul II Theology of the Body Institute. Damon's been on the program before, really good guy, and he's done some great things. But the one that really caught my eye is Marie Joseph. Mm. Our friend Marie Joseph, the executive director of the Legacy of Life Foundation, being honored by the Pope with this special medal. Isn't that beautiful?
It's very beautiful.
It is. And when you go through the list, one of the things that I found, it's all people that are really faith in action. They're doing something.
Yep.
And they're doing stuff of beauty. You know, Legacy of Life Foundation is doing is a work of beauty that Marie Joseph and her team. So there's a lot of things that we could do in our faith each and every day to live up to those expectations. So we're very proud of her.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations,
yep.
Damon and Marie. All right.
And everybody else.
Yes,
everyone else.
Yeah. Exactly. There were so many people. I just don't have time to mention them all. But what I'll do, I'll put a link to this on spiritinthemorning.com just so people can see these individuals who are serving the church and getting that papal recognition. And you know what? I'm sure, I don't know everybody on this list, but I'm sure, and I know Marie and Damon would feel this way. They're not looking for this recognition. They're serving the church because they're serving the Lord. That's what they want to do.
They're on fire.
This is just, yep, absolutely. This is just a way of acknowledging them. All right, guys, let's take a look at the gospel today from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God, where Abiathar was a high priest, and he ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat, and shared it with his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." That is a tough message. And, you know, here's what I get out of this. And this reminds me of something that my late mother-in-law used to say all the time. And I think this is such a good message for us. Don't try to be holier than the Pope. In other words, don't try to say, well, you know, the church says this, but I think we should be doing this way. Right? And Frank, you're laughing, but we've got to be careful about
that. I think we're all the time trying to be holier than the Pope. And, like, you know, right. it's very difficult to sometimes not do. We have opinions. We want to say them. We want to express them. But you know what? You know, a lot of things the Pope says to guide us.
Exactly. But we oftentimes hear, and Pope Francis is a great example because he's stretching and challenging us in so many ways. We, a lot of times, we'll hear what he says and say, well, that's not true. I'm not going to do that. Right?
Or we'll hear someone else's perspective and not necessarily the reality. And right. So, yeah, you know, it's so true. It's a great statement.
Right. We just really have to be careful. The Lord founded a church. He founded the Catholic Church to help us get to heaven. The Lord knows what he's doing. And as a result, he gave the church the power of the Holy Spirit to teach authoritatively. We should listen. It's really that simple. But again, you see what the Pharisees are doing. They knew better. And they weren't listening to Jesus. That's what one of our guests will be talking about today, listening.
And sometimes we don't hear the words. We hear what's said, but we don't understand the perspective of it. We don't understand why or what it is. You know, we try and use our own judgment in that respect.
That's right. That's right. And specifically, I'll be talking with Art Bennett in the second half of the show about how to respond when we disagree with somebody and when we think they're wrong. He's got a set of steps that we should follow, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But coming up prior to that segment, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma right after the break, and we will continue our look at Abraham in the book of Genesis. Grab a cup of coffee. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Berard and Companions. Countless holy men and women have been gifted with a missionary spirit, so strong that they leave behind their homeland and begin a new life serving people whose language and culture are unfamiliar. In the process, some of these holy men and women pay the ultimate price, martyrdom. Today we honor several such people, the first Franciscan martyrs. In 1219, with the blessing of St. Francis of Assisi, several Franciscans left Italy to preach in Morocco. Leading the group was a young follower of Francis named Berard. He and his companions tried preaching in Seville, then under Muslim control, but made no converts. They next went to Morocco, where they preached at the marketplace. The Franciscan friars were immediately apprehended and ordered to leave the country. They refused. When they began preaching again, the local leader ordered them executed. After refusing to renounce their faith, they were beheaded on January 16, 1220. Their relics were brought to Portugal, where a young man named Anthony of Padua was moved by the strength of their faith. Berard and his four companions, Peter, Ajute, Akers, and Odo, were canonized in 1481. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Micah Tyler with Never Been a Moment. The time right now is 7:18. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Well, we are joined on the phone right now by our friend Dr. John Bergsma, who will now be on with us weekly. What a blessing that is to have Dr. Bergsma. He is a full professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. We have been looking at the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis, and we're going to continue with that discussion today. Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, great to be with you, Gary.
Always a pleasure, my friend. All right, you ready to get to resume our story of Abraham?
Let's do it.
All right. So when we last spoke, Dr. Bergsma, we were looking at basically chapter 19 of Genesis, which focused on Abraham's nephew, Lot. Lot went to live in Sodom. He got a little close to the fire, you know, let himself get burned a little bit. But he, along with his daughters, managed to escape when God destroyed Sodom. Lot's wife, on the other hand, was not quite as fortunate. What do you take? What's the message, John, we can take out of Lot's wife looking back when she was told not to look back?
Sure, Gary. You know, it reminds us of the teachings of our Lord when he speaks of the kingdom of God and says that anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. And this is the kind of, you know, from the spiritual sense, Gary, it's the kind of phenomena when, you know, we've decided to follow the Lord, we've committed ourselves to the church, we've committed ourselves to a life of prayer, and then we think back to our old life and think, oh, you know, those parties I used to go to, those are pretty fun, you know, those folks I used to hang around with, you know, that those were good times, you know. This, you know, this life is self-sacrifice and you know, sacrificial love, you know, it's pretty tough. And we have these longings to return to that kind of life of self-indulgence that maybe we lived before we gave our lives to God. And that kind of thinking is dangerous, Gary, and it can lead to our spiritual death.
I agree. And, you know, it's funny. I still struggle with this from time to time. I think, well, man, this following the Lord stuff, giving my life to him completely, it's tough. I remember the old days when it wasn't that tough, when all I did was go to Mass and not care about anything. But yet, in reality, that's no way to live your life. And our relationship with the Lord should not be about how easy it is or what he does for me. It should be a mutual, loving relationship, correct?
That's right. The satisfaction of being in a true love relationship with God in the long run as well as the short run.
Yep.
Is so much more satisfying than just, you know, trying to make our body feel good.
Exactly. Okay, so before we get to chapter 20, very briefly, Lot escapes with his daughters. Then some funky stuff goes on. You want to touch on that a little bit about what happened with Lot and his daughters?
Sure. You know, they're out isolated. They've fled from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're living in an isolated area. Trying to rebuild their lives, and the daughters are saying, hey, how are we going to get a husband? You know, how are we going to have children ourselves? And there's no prospective young men around, and so they actually decide to conceive children with their own dad. So they get him drunk, and they conceive, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty, Gary.
No, it's not.
The Bible doesn't whitewash stuff. It's not a children's story. It's pretty honest about the kind of things that people will do, when they're thinking only about their own interests and so on. So this is how we get the two nations of Moab and Ammon that end up becoming perpetual enemies, really, of the people of Israel later in their history. But they come from the two daughters of Lot who conceived by their own father here.
You know, John, it's painful to listen to some of these details, but in a sense, it makes the Bible that much more realistic when we, like you said, it's not whitewashed. This is a true picture, and ultimately, because we have free will, we can all do bad things.
That's right. We can all fall into, you know, temptations of various sorts, and particularly in this area, Gary, you know, The area of sexuality, the area of children and procreation, you know, we look around our society and we see all kinds of distortions about this aspect of life. People using various extreme methods to have children. You know, we have surrogacy, people paying others to bear children for them. We have people, you know, seeking sexual pleasure in ways that are contrary to how our bodies are designed. So basically, this is not new. This is not progressive. I mean, sometimes people think, this is so modern that we have these, you know, new exotic ways of having pleasure or procreating or so on. But actually, this is actually going back to the past when people use perverse methods to have children and seek pleasure. So there's really nothing new under the sun. Sin is as old as the hills. And that's what we're seeing in the scriptures here.
Exactly. Okay, let's move into chapter 20, if we could. Abraham, now the focus is back on Abraham. And we see that once again, Abraham says, I mean, would you call this a lie about his wife? It's a half-truth. Again, he's not perfect. He is certainly somebody who is journeying closer to the Lord, but some of his imperfections are showing. Take us through this a little bit, if you could, John. What happens in chapter 20 of Genesis?
Sure. Abraham is a bit of a scammer. The Bible portrays this. I mean, he gets past it, but he has this con game that he plays where he travels and what he does is he passes his wife Sarah off as a sister, and then Sarah will sometimes be courted or married by the local king, and then when it's discovered that she's really Abraham's wife, why then it's a big embarrassment, and then the local king will pay off Abraham to compensate him for the offense against his honor that happened here. So this is a kind of a con game that Abraham plays, twice. That's recorded for us in Scripture and probably other times as well. So, you know, he journeys down into this area of Gerar, and he passes Sarah off as a sister, and the king of Gerar is attracted to her and takes her as a prospective wife. But, you know, God is looking out for Abraham, even though Abraham doesn't always, seem to deserve it. And God protects Sarah from anything happening to her. She's not violated. She's never sleeps with this king. And it's really revealed to this king Abimelech that Sarah is actually the wife of Abraham. And so he returns Sarah to Abraham before anything happens. And this is, the providence of God. And because God is watching out now for Abraham and for Sarah, because it's from their line that a Savior is going to come for us. And so we see that, sometimes God, protects us even from our foolish actions, and we really have to praise Him from that. And looking back in my life, I certainly see a number of times when I just acted like an idiot when I was a teenager, and but for the providence of God, I really could have damaged myself, my family, and I'm sure you have instances like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
But God does this for us, and we really have to give Him thanks for sparing us from the full effects sometimes of our foolish actions.
You bet. And John, we have about a minute left. I want to touch on one thing before we go. In chapter 20 of Genesis, verse 11. Abraham explains why he came up with this half-truth about his wife being his sister by saying he was afraid. I thought there would be no fear of God in this place, and they would kill me on account of my wife. So because I was afraid, I'm going to stretch the truth a little bit. Don't you think we all have that temptation at times?
Yeah, I think that's deep at the heart of sin, is fear. You know, and some theologians, Gary, even suggest that when we look at the Garden of Eden, that our first parents may have fell into sin in part because they were afraid of the serpent.
Right.
That serpent was a threat. And, fear is related to lack of faith. And oftentimes we sin not simply because we're malicious, but sometimes, our trust in God fails. And we think, if I don't pull a fast one. If I don't stretch the truth, you know, something bad is going to happen to me.
That is so,
really
so right. Dr. Bergsma, sorry we are out of time. Thanks for making that last point. I look forward to continuing this next week with Dr. Bergsma.
Can't make it to Washington to speak up for the protection of human life? Join us at the annual Chester County March for Life on Sunday, January 21st, 2018 at 2:30 p.m. at St. Agnes Church, 233 West Gay Street in Westchester, Pennsylvania. The theme will be Love Saves Lives, given by Christine Flowers, a local attorney who writes a column appearing in the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Delco Times, and a talk show host on WPHT, writing and speaking from a strong pro-life perspective. Music provided by the St. Peter Parish Youth and Young Adult Choir. For more information, contact Joe Christoph at 610-942-3571 or Joe Christoph at Verizon.net, and that's Joe, J-O-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-F-F at Verizon.net.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. 20-year-old Nick Fagnano was killed by a lightning strike at a California beach. His parents, Jay and Mary, were devastated, but they eventually found some comfort after discovering an essay the devoutly Catholic Nick had written about heaven. It read, "The afterlife that I want to be a part of involves joy, excitement, and gratitude, as we will finally be reunited with the loved ones that we have lost on earth. Perhaps rest in peace is actually not the best term in relation to death. Rather, a phrase such as thrive in joy best represents how I will want to spend eternity." After reading that essay, Jay and Mary created a foundation in Nick's honor that is helping children in poverty find joy in this life. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
After a season of nightfalls and pushbacks, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match, oh, 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 here comes a comeback.
your game, set, match. Oh, 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 here comes a comeback.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was the comeback by Danny Gokey. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. The time right now is 7:34. We're going to be talking about the art of listening. We're trying to get our next guest on the phone right now, Art Bennett. He is the president and chief executive author of Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. He's also the co-founder and director of the Alpha Omega Clinics in Maryland and Virginia. Art has more than 30 years experience in the mental health field, and he's a frequent speaker on marriage and family issues. Along with his wife, Lorraine, he has written a book called Tuned In, The Power of Pressing Pause and Listening, from our Sunday visitor, and he joins us now. Art, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. We had such a good time with you on the program last time that I had to get you back on to continue this discussion of listening. It seems anymore that it's a lost art. We don't seem to listen to one another.
Yeah, that was kind of what drove my wife and I to write it. You know, it's something we struggle with, too. I think there's a lot of things in our culture that kind of push us towards kind of quick, rapid hits. You know, maybe more of a culture of... just exchanging things and getting what you want, moving on, as opposed to lingering, mm-hmm. really getting to know people, a transactional culture as opposed to a culture of encounter that's heart to heart. So I think that's a situation we're in, but the problem is we have to have strong connections with God, strong connections with each other. Otherwise, we're just going to kind of float through life in despair and disjointedness. So listening can help.
Yeah. And in your book, you make the point, and this really got my attention, and you state that the first step in discipleship is listening. The disciples of Jesus heard his call. What if they weren't listening?
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, there's so much at stake. You know, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor and yourself. I mean, at least in the Gospel of Mark, that's preceded by Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Benedict the 16th makes a real big deal out of that even mm-hmm. before we can obey a command or before we can love our neighbor or love God, we have to be listening to what God tells us. So he sees, that's why he says listening is the most important thing. And I think that's been echoed also by St. John Paul II and Pope Francis, that the fear is by becoming a culture that is anti-listening or anti-silence, we may lose our contact with God altogether. So that's kind of what's at stake here. Yeah,
definitely something that many of us need to work on. One of the things that I wanted to address, because this is a topic near and dear to my heart, we talk a lot about it on the show, is how to respond to someone who you disagree with. In other words, this person, I know you're wrong, so okay, maybe I'll listen a little bit, but then I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. But I like in the book, you have some concrete steps that we can take in dealing with a person with whom we disagree. Could you maybe go over some of these steps now? I disagree with somebody. How do I handle that?
Well, first of all, I think is being aware that that's going to be a high-risk situation for being very defensive or being very argumentative in a way that's not going to be conducive. So you're walking into a mm-hmm. tough spot there, because this person, from your point of view, is so off the rails or so, just not understanding what's really going on. So you can shift right away into very kind of legislative mode and an argumentative mode and not listening mode. As they're talking, you're just kind of ready, preparing your repartee. So you have to take a
yes.
I
do it all the time. That's why I'm laughing.
Well, we all do. You have to take another cue. And a word we picked up from the book by Cardinal Seurat is the interior silence. So interior silence means, okay, hold, what's going on here? Two things. One is, this is a person, made in the image and likeness of God. This is a person who has a soul, and they deserve my respect. This is where Pope Francis uses terms like, I need to take my sandals off before this person, which is any person. So that's one. So it's reconnecting. Wow. That is, this person isn't just someone who's going to give data and information, which I'm going to agree or disagree with. This is a person made in the image and likeness of God. So we want to kind of get our mind set around that. And then the second is, I am a Christian. I'm a man of God to the best of my ability, and my heart should be overflowing with love. This is a great example, great opportunity, particularly with somebody who I disagree with, where I can show that, because Christ didn't really die on the cross so we can get along with our people to agree with us, our family members, so to speak. I mean, that's kind of natural. He died on the cross to help us love people whom we disagree with or enemies. So I think it's getting that mindset. There's something more important than the data here. Now, by the way, I want to be clear. We're not quietists in any way. Yeah. I mean, if people are wrong, we can get to that. We can get to that later, you know, in this relation. So it's not abdicating truth. It's not abdicating correction. It's just putting something more important in the front end, which is, let me hear you out here. Let me really understand what you're saying, because I can see you're so passionate about this. I'm really going to learn a lot about you in this. And then doing it in a rather loving way, that's how you start. You know, listen, now once you've heard that and the person's convinced that they've really been heard, you can say, listen, do you mind if I give my take on it? I have a little bit of a different take. Do you mind if I get that? So it keeps everything very civil, but also very kind of genuine person to person, not just debaters debating.
I really like that. And you go into some detail in the book about an introvert or an extrovert may handle this situation differently. Could you maybe go into a little bit about that? Because some of us are less comfortable in a one-on-one conversation than others. And oftentimes that affects our listening and our speaking and the way we interact with others.
Right. Introvert, extrovert really comes from Carl Jung, but it's a real handy tune because it shows our default setting and how we tend to react in certain situations. So, yeah, let's take a one-on-one situation where we maybe don't know the person that well. We're a little uncomfortable. The extrovert's going to be very tempted to be very silent and not contribute at all, and or focusing on the anxiety of the moment, like, oh, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what's going on here, or I'm going to look stupid. And so I think what the introvert wants to do is guard against that, watch out for that immediate impulse, and rather focus on, well, I'm going to really learn something here. Introverts love to learn. They're learners. Let me see what I can pick up here from this person and what I can get to know about this person as a person, and then focus on that. The extrovert, on the other hand, will be chomping at the bit to repartee. As soon as there's a pause, as soon as the person takes a breath, they're going to want to jump in with what they think is a much better opinion, a much better idea. So where the introvert has to kind of motivate themselves to engage, the extrovert has to motivate himself or herself into really getting to listen and let the words of the other person come out and settle and really reflect on them without just jumping on them. So I think that that's a good example. When we know our temperament, well, no, introverts tends to be thin-skinned. Oh, you said that, you wounded me. Oh, my gosh, now I'm so wounded, I'm so hurt. And whereas the extrovert likes to debate for sport. It's a sport. Why are you taking that so sensitive? Just because I told you your tie is horrible, why does that bother you so much? They just can't understand it. So it's getting outside of ourselves, kind of dying to ourselves, and realizing that we have strengths and weaknesses based on our temperament, or extroverted, introverted, and to kind of keep those in check and use the assets and watch out for the deficits. That makes sense.
That's really good advice. And I think what we often forget when we're in these situations is to do as you said and to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us too, as you mentioned in the book, to let the Holy Spirit guide us and give us the words rather than just react. And we're only going to get those words from the Holy Spirit if we're silent long enough to listen. Is that correct?
I think that's really a good point, Gary. Yeah, I mean, what precedes listening to others is listening to God. Again, Father Sarah's book is very good on this. We allude to it a little bit. If you have carved out in your day that you'll really silently listen to God, and God talks in silence, really listen. If you've kind of created that culture within your own mind and heart and soul, then when you go into conversations with people, it's much easier to make the transition to really listening and to really paying attention to both the person and not just the ideas that they're proposing. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to, just as in silence with God, we're trying to get to God, not be just petrified by the silence. So too, in conversations with others, we're trying to get to the other person heart to heart and not just be overly distracted by whatever agreements or disagreements we have. You know, the big problem in communication is defensiveness, and this is from my days as a marriage therapist. Once defensiveness starts to come in, it's very easy to get off the rails, very easy. So a stronger prayer life helps the resistance to defensiveness. Because, you know, a lot of times you pray, you don't get what you want. A lot of times you pray, you don't know if God's listening. So it really builds a sense of receptivity as opposed to kind of arguing and taking the floor all the time. So the two complement each other. I think a strong prayer life certainly complements a more intense life of interaction and dialogue with people and encounters. You know, the heart-to-heart thing that Pope Francis keeps talking about, let's have heart-to-heart relations rather than just mind-to-mind.
And I think that that preparation before we are in this situation, what you said was so such an important point. I want to make sure we highlight that again, that everyone, even that person that drives us crazy, is created in the image and likeness of God. And we can't, as Christians, claim that we love God. And this is in the Bible. You know that if we are not listening or respecting other people, right? I mean, that's the heart of the matter.
I think it is, you know. But, you know, as Catholics, we're used to adoring the invisible, so to speak. I mean, we see a cross, but others see, oh, my God, that's a horrible thing. But we see love, or we see other people see the bread, and we see the body and blood of Christ. And other people see kind of a bum on the street or an ex-felon or a con or a guy that's been divorced twice and must be a knucklehead. And we should ideally see, well, yeah, okay, maybe. But, you know, this guy, God has allowed him to continue. God loves him. God loves him totally. What makes me think that I can't at least try to have some kind of relation? I also want to be clear, too. This doesn't mean being a doormat, to use a phrase that's often rightfully used. It doesn't mean letting people roll all over you or whatever. And it doesn't mean you cannot disagree with people. It just gets putting the cart before the horse, which is really saying, first I'm going to acknowledge you as a person made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there. And I often think about when St. John Paul II forgave the man who shot him. He didn't then leave the cell and go, listen, why don't you let this guy go free? Why don't you let him, I've forgiven him, let him go free. No, he's got some real problems that have to be sorted out. He's not yet safe for society. But that didn't stop St. John Paul II from forgiving him. And the other thing, too, Gary, is forgiving or empathy doesn't mean endorsing. So when I listen to somebody who has a wild view that I personally think is way off the rails, or the church thinks is off the rails, my listening doesn't necessarily mean endorsement. I'm just giving him or her the gift of full attention that a person deserves. And then at some point, I look forward to giving my opinion.
Excellent point. The book is Tuned In, Power of Pressing Pause and Listening by Art and Lorraine Bennett. Art, I can't believe it. We are out of time again. I need to get you back on the show. Will you come back on sometime?
It's always my pleasure, Gary. God bless you, buddy.
Always my pleasure. Not a free time. Coming up.
Love is what we come here for.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Now reveal.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. The name of that song was What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong Worship. You know, some advice for you. If you're struggling, if you don't know what to say, if you're just struggling with the words to put into prayer because you're up against so many problems, Jesus, just repeat that name, Jesus. What a beautiful name. When you do that, it's going to put you in closer contact with the Lord. That one word becomes a prayer, Jesus. Always remember that. Just mention the name of Jesus. Can't tell you how many times where I didn't even know what to say because I was so distraught about something that was happening, and I just start repeating that name of Jesus, and all of a sudden, this peace fills me. Well, that's because Jesus listens when you call his name. Let's take a quick look at your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. I think this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible when it comes to anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. You know, there is nothing like when you have a problem being able to go to a friend and say to that friend, I've got this problem. Will you listen to me? Jesus not only is willing always to listen to you wherever you are and whatever time of day or night you call out to him, but he can help you because he is God and he's all powerful. So cast all your anxieties on him because he cares about you. One final thing I want to mention tonight at Mary Mother of the Redeemer Church, 7 p.m. I'm going to be giving a talk called From Fear to Faith. We're going to be doing it in the church, 7 p.m. at Mary Mother of the Redeemer in North Wales. And if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're not sure how to handle the problems in your life, I would love you to come out to this talk. It's going to be 1 hour. We're going to keep it short. And if you've heard me speak before, there are some new things I'm going to talk about tonight that I've never spoken about before. So I'm really excited about this talk. Mary, Mother of the Redeemer, 7 p.m. Hope to see you out there today. All right, Dave and Frank, it was good being with both of you, even though I'm a little remote. But then again, some days I'm in the studio and I'm a little remote, too.
I was just going to say that.
See, this is the thing. Guys, I happen to be a nice guy, so not only do I set you up, I give you the insults so you can feed them back at me, yeah, right?
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
So we just moved around so you could both see us on camera. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. This Skype thing really turned out well.
Yes.
Frank and Dave, I just want to follow up on some of the things that Art Bennett was talking about. This idea of, Frank, you've said this so many times, the idea of even if you disagree with somebody, give them the respect to listen to them. And as you've told me, and I've learned this from you, Frank, oftentimes we're closer than we think. But until you start to listen to somebody, you're never going to realize that.
Exactly.
More often than not, we're trying to prove who we are and trying to prove things. You know what?
Yep.
Don't try to prove anything. Prove that you're really a good Christian, you're Christ-like, yep. And sit back, yep. Listen to what they're telling you. And by the way, if you do have a disagreement, by understanding them better, you'll have a much better shot at actually getting them to hear you. You need to first prove you understand them. That makes it for a much better conversation. If I sit there and say you're wrong, you're just going to dig in your heels and you're going to go right back at me.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
If we're secure in ourselves and in our faith, we can listen. We can just listen. And then as Art said, we can come back. And it's not that we don't engage, but if we have a difference, then we can talk about it. But it's first lay the respect out there for the other person.
And Dave, we're all created in the image and likeness of God. I need to remember that because, especially for the people that really get on my nerves. Mm-hmm. So, Dave Parker, I'm going to be concentrating today.
I'm going to be really concentrating
on the fact that you are God's creation, Dave Parker. Yeah. And this is going to take our relationship to the next level, brother.
It will, brother. I guarantee you.
But that's, seriously, that's really some good points and something to keep in mind today. We can make this world a better place. I know it sounds like a cliche, but one person at a time, I can make a difference. How about just being nice to somebody today?
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, from Christ. You know, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, and they were talking about, the Catholic faith. We're about suffering. No, we're about the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and show that love and mercy to other people. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you can truly change the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Gary, I was going to say, and Frank, I was going to say, well, Art brought up introvert, extrovert, and that's very apropos. you know, for me in several respects. I don't know about you, Gare. Yeah, would you say you're an extrovert or an introvert?
I'm an introvert, no doubt about it. And that comes, it's funny, I do a lot of public speaking, but I am an introvert, as are many people who do public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't know it, but yet we react differently in social situations. So I tend to get a little defensive. My feelings tend to get hurt. So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
And at the same time, understand where that other person's coming from. If you don't, where they get their energy from. If they are an introvert, they're going to react differently. If they're an extrovert, they're not you. Oftentimes, we assume they're us. You know, we assume they're just like us, yet we could be completely different in the way we perceive things.
Yeah, I was going to say also, we're not either one or the other. We have parts of both of those, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Hey, before we sign off for today, I want to remind you listening that Steve Boza will be here tomorrow. He's the director for the Office of Life and Family for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Also, Father Thomas Daly will join us. Remember, as I always tell you, wherever you go today, what else do you do? God is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating